Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Nice to see you all. Did you notice the hymn that we sung this morning, Jesus Receives Sinners? Did you notice how old it was? Anybody notice the date when the man who wrote it lived? I always find it interesting when I sing a hymn to look down who wrote it and when they lived. Well, that hymn would have been written 300 years ago. At least, the writer, a German, was born in 1671. 1671! So, I'm sure by the time he was 30, he possibly had written the hymn so that it would date from 1700 or around that date. And that's over 300 years ago. Now, it's nice for us to be singing the old gospel hymns. That's the important thing. I don't like modern compositions written by men and women today and sung by them. And oftentimes it's just a display to draw attention to themselves, to their singing voices and to what they consider their great poetic talents. But the old hymns, boys and girls, were composed, I believe, under the guidance of the Lord in order to bring attention to the Lord. So that was a nice old hymn for us to sing. Now, we have a new study this morning, and we're going to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, and it's the chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and we will be considering the early part of that chapter. We're going to read from verse 1 of the Gospel of Luke. Verse 1 says, "Then drew near unto him." Ah, that's what you have to do this morning. You have to draw near unto the Savior, so that you can hear all the better. That's why they got close to the Savior, so that they didn't miss one word. They weren't interested in the things that were happening around them, for I'm sure there were many things happening around them, but they weren't interested in that. They were interested in hearing what the Savior said. So they drew near, they pressed in close. They drew near unto him, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. Now, we'll stop for a moment. Publicans were a class of people nobody liked. They were tax collectors. In other words, they collected from the people money that the Roman government insisted that they pay. All citizens have to pay tax in one way or another. Every item we buy in the shop has value-added tax put on it. So you pay the price of the item plus value-added tax. And that's just one of the means by which the government collects money from your mom and dad and everyone else. And these publicans were tax collectors. And they were particularly hated because the Roman government was a hated government. The Jews were governed by those who were outside their country. They had invaded their country, conquered their country, and were dominating them, and they hated paying tax to the Roman authorities. And consequently, the people who collected the taxes were hated, despised. They were Jews, but they were serving Rome, and consequently, their neighbors didn't like them. But here they are, gathered to hear the Savior. And along with them there were those termed sinners, people that were not considered very nice, very respectable. They were a lower class of people. They were sinful people. And that's who's gathered here to hear the Savior. Verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. Murmured. You know what that word means? Mutter. It's a word that has come into existence in an attempt to copy the sound that the people make when they're murmuring. To murmur it, mutter under your breath, as it were, among themselves. You can see those scribes and Pharisees leaning over to each other and saying, "Look at what's happening over there." Murmuring. Saying, "This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them." That's what we're going to look at today. Remember, we're considering the things that were said about the Lord Jesus. And here's one of the things that was said. And it's a complaint. Most of the things that were said about the Lord Jesus were complaints. Oh, there were those who uttered praise, who spoke of him rejoicingly. But I would say by and large, the greater number of things said about the Lord Jesus were complaints. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's our consideration then today, our subject. Now the words spoken here by these scribes and Pharisees, and remember who they are. They were, if I might put it like this, they were the religious elite. That is, the highest amongst the religious people in the land. Looked on by everyone as being, oh, very religious. So here's the very religious, speaking disparagingly, critically, of the Lord Jesus. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And I've got to say right away that here is proof positive, strong evidence of the depravity of man's heart and of the great gulf, great division between the thinking of God and the thinking of man. There's no comparison between the two, because they're looking at the Savior, seeing what he is doing, and they're complaining. This man receiveth sinners. You know, boys and girls, we have ever got to bear in mind that the human mind is not capable of itself of thinking properly, thinking wisely, thinking truthfully. It's not capable of doing that. When you find a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, who is very obviously thinking and doing that which is right, that person has had their mind influenced, touched and shaped by the Lord. Because if they're thinking and acting wisely and in a holy fashion, they're not thinking and acting according to what their human mind would of itself produce. You see, when the Lord Jesus came into this world, he was sent by the Father to accomplish, to do a certain work. And the work that his Father had sent him to do was to seek and to save that which was lost. So when we read here in our verse that he was actively receiving sinners, he was doing his Father's will. But as he went about doing his Father's will, what were the religious leaders saying? This man receiveth sinners. They sneered, complained, found fault with the Savior as he went about doing his Father's will. Now that shows you, I say, how far removed from the thinking of God is the thinking of man. Just you remember that about yourself. If you follow your own thoughts, you'll not walk in God's path. If you seek your own pleasures, you'll not walk in God's path. You will walk in the opposite direction to that which God would have you walk. The Apostle Paul stated the matter in a most memorable way in 1 Timothy, the chapter 1. Look it up, you older ones, because it's one of those verses that we should learn and memorize. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying. That is a saying that is absolutely true. I'm not telling you a lie. I am being faithful to God and his truth when I say this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy to be received. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So when he received sinners, he was doing his Father's will. And yet the Pharisees are complaining. about that happening. Oh, how different are the thoughts of God from those of men, even the most religious man, if their thoughts are born of their own hearts. Whatever the scribes and Pharisees thought of the Savior, it is clear that there were sinners who had a very different view of the Savior. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people, were looking on the Savior, what he was doing, his speaking unto sinners and Pharisees, and they frowned and shook their head and muttered about it, whereas the sinners were drawn. They wanted to hear. They had the very opposite view. Very opposite view. They felt drawn to him. Look at what it says. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. That's what the verse 1 says. And I love that little phrase, they drew near. Do you ever see the fisherman? Have you ever been out fishing, any of you boys? Or girls, even? Well, you throw out your hook and the bait on it, and the fish snaps at it, grabs it. And what do? You begin to draw it in. It's caught on the hook, so you're drawing it in. Well, in a sense, boys and girls, there was something had hooked the minds of these sinners, the hearts of these sinners, and it was drawing them to Christ. It was the work of the Holy Spirit, of course. He had laid hold upon the hearts and the thoughts and the minds of the men and women there who were sinful, and he was drawing them to Christ. That's a simple gospel truth. No man can come to me, the Lord Jesus said, except the Father draw him, and draws him by the workings of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you can look back on the day when you felt drawn to Christ, and that was God. That was God working, and God is working here amongst these poor, sinful people. The Lord Jesus was happy to have such people as these, despised and spurned by the religious leaders and looked down on. But the Lord Jesus was happy to have them as his congregation. That's another evidence of the difference that there was between the scribes and the Pharisees and the Lord Jesus. The scribes and the Pharisees despised the people that the Lord Jesus was delighted to have come near him, and he spoke to them. I always try to imagine what it must have been like. The Savior there, and people crowding in. And as I do with you, when I'm speaking, I never like preachers who look over there when the congregation's down there and they preach to the wall. I don't like that. I like to look at people. I like to look right into your eyes. I like to look at you so that you're listening, all of you. And I think the Lord Jesus would have done that. As he was speaking there to that crowd, he would have been looking round them and looking into the face, some of the older ones, right down to the little ones that were gathered there, maybe with their mum or dad, and he would have looked at them. He was letting them know, I know you're here. I know you're listening to me. I know the Lord Jesus wants you to know that here this morning, he's looking at you. He's watching you. He's watching you. And he would have noticed who was particularly listening. I think that it's true that the general atmosphere amongst those who gathered in was attentive and earnest. They wanted to hear him. So he would have seen that in their faces. And the Lord was happy to have such a people there. This was the whole purpose for which he had come. Now, sinners are drawn to the Lord Jesus in a day when he visits an area, a town, a country. You see, boys and girls, that is what revival is all about. Now, you have heard about revivals. We in the Free Presbyterian Church, I think, now can say that in the late 60s and early 70s, we had revival amongst us. What happened? The Lord drew near. The Lord drew near and visited us. We bade farewell at a funeral service to a man that I'm sure all of you remember. He hasn't been out of church for a little while because he has been ill. He's been in hospital in recent days. But nevertheless, you will remember him in our midst. Mr. Basil Dean. You remember him? Well, Mr. Basil Dean came to the meetings in Lisbalaw. In the morning he came first time, there were only 8 people in the meeting, plus him. Now, a little earlier, that same year, 1968, the hall was packed, but foolishly some people had kicked up a bit of a fuss. And as a result, people left. They didn't know what was happening. In fact, one man, a farmer, told me afterwards that when the news came to him, relayed by someone who told him, "Oh, that meeting in Lisbelow, it's all over. Broken up, busted up. They've closed the place." When that was relayed to him, he was so broken-hearted, he lay down on the ground in his farmyard and wept. He was so smitten with grief and sorrow. He lay down and he wept. And it was a little while before news came to him that actually the meetings hadn't stopped. Yes, there had been this foolish division and people had left, but the meetings hadn't stopped, they were continuing. And it was into the little meeting that Mr. Dane came, drawn by the Lord. But you know, the Lord drew others, and soon the wee hall was packed full again. That was the Lord. I believe it was the devil that scattered the people out of the hall, and almost brought the work to a close and to an end. But it was the Lord who gathered people in. That's what's happening here. Then drew near unto him. There was something drew the people to the Lord Jesus. And that's revival. And we in the Free Church in the years I've just spoken about, way back in the late 60s and early 70s, God was drawing people. Drawing people to places that the religious leaders in the land mocked at and laughed at and did their best to try and stop. There was a man who was paid money by one of the religious leaders. Not a minister or anything like that, but one that was counted a very religious person in Enniskillen. Paid money to go to the hall in Lisbelow and burn it. And he bought himself a gallon of petrol and started for Lisbelow, but came under deep conviction that this was not right. Now, from Enniskillen to Lisbelow is only 4 miles. But in that little journey, the Lord took a dealing with him, and before he got to Lisbelow, he had to stop and go back home again. He couldn't carry out the evil deed. And I only heard about that quite some time after the event, when the man told someone what he had been planning to do as a result of a leading religious person in Enniskillen putting the idea into his head and paying for the petrol, etc. Oh yes, when the Lord's working, the religious leaders don't like it, just like the Pharisees and the scribes. Here, the Saviour was happy to receive the sinners, but the scribes and the Pharisees were anything but happy. There's a lesson here, you know, for preachers. Preachers shouldn't just preach the Bible, they should look at it, learn from it, study it, and obey it. And there's a lesson here for preachers. Even as I'm telling you these things, there's a lesson for me. And the lesson is, if I preach Christ, set him before the people, by the power of the Holy Ghost, people will be drawn to him. That's what revival is. In desert revival, preachers are endued with power from God to proclaim what the Bible says about Christ, and as they do it, people are drawn. People are drawn. Drawn not to them, in the sense that it's the preacher the people are delighted in and admiring. No. But what it is the preacher is saying about the Lord Jesus, that's what's drawing them. And they're being drawn to the Saviour as he is presented to the people. That's what's happening here. Well, boys and girls, we need to take note of this. We need to take note of this. A complaint. This man receiveth sinners. A complaint. Now, my time's nearly up, and I don't want to sort of start into the actual study, for what I've just said was really only an introduction. It's a bit like me getting up here at the beginning of this message and saying, "Good morning, boys and girls." That was the introduction. And what I have said up to now was an introduction to the subject matter that we're going to look at here in these words. And the scribes and the Pharisees murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners." When I come back to you the next time, I'm going to discuss with you, and I'll share this with you so that you can think about it between now and then. That is, between now and next Tuesday. Here's the first thing I want you to notice. It is that which did not draw the people to him. It says in verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the first thing I want us to consider is what it was they did not draw near to him for. I want us to consider what it was that did not draw the people to the Savior. Because that's very important. You see, because today, in religious circles, there are those who say, oh, you know, if we do this, that'll draw people in. Or if we do that, that'll draw people in. But the things that people suggest that should be done today in order to draw people in to the church, there's no sign of it taking place here. The things suggested today by many are not the things that drew the people to the Savior. And I want to think about that. And I hope you'll think about it between now and Tuesday. Well, we'll leave our study there today. I didn't get very far, but we'll leave it there. And I trust that you'll have some thoughts about the matter by the time we get back again on Tuesday in the will of the Lord. Well, let's bow together in prayer. We do ask thee, Lord, to take these feeble words and to apply them to the hearts of the boys and the girls, and may they see in their heart and see in their mind the picture of the people crowding around the Lord Jesus to hear him. And may they desire that same attention to be given to them, to what it is the Savior says. Oh, may we all listen carefully and study closely the words of the Lord Jesus. Bless the school today. Keep your hand upon it. Be with the teachers. You know the needs there are among the teachers today. Answer prayer. Bless the homes from which the children have come. Lord, remember this poor land of ours, blighted by the thinking of those who are of the same class as the scribes and the Pharisees, enemies of the Lord Jesus, critics of the Lord Jesus. God, remember this land, and may it know a deliverance from the views and the influences of such. Hear us now and bless us and answer prayer. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.